Morning Bay Area.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Brace yourselves for KNBR's Power Surge. The sports leader welcomes you to Murph and Max. Power Hour. Giants fans, there's no question we've got the best in the booth. That's why Murph and Mac catch up with Krug right now.
He hits it high. He hits it deep. It's out of here. Adios, pelota. Good.
Sponsored by your Northern California Honda dealers. NorCal Honda dealers, race to save is on. Race in now for winning deals on every model.
On KNBR 104.5 FM and 680 AM.
Let's talk about this Giants team that just swept the Rockies at Coors. What?
This is what we like to see, buddy.
How about this stat? They're 11-0 against Colorado in their last 11 and 32-9 their last 41. It's crazy. And they just went through Coors Field, which we thought was going to be a boogeyman, and somehow tamed it. Let's dive in with Mike Kruko on the UMA guest line. Mike, Coors Field.
Oh, man.
Tamed.
Love this.
No longer a problem. Good morning. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I can't explain this. So I just can't. I mean, I'm so fearful of that place. I mean, since they opened the doors, it's just been such an incredible home field advantage. And it's just like whoever gets the last at bats, that's the team that's going to win the game. Well, the Rockies, they've held that advantage over baseball forever. And you just don't trust it. You do not trust it. And everybody goes in there thinking, add on. Every out feels like a whole inning when you get one out, and it just makes everything bigger than you normally see in most game situations. And but I love the fact that, you know, they came back in every game. I love that they gave up runs early, and then all of a sudden the bullpen comes in, slams the door, and then that's it. Rockies can't beat a drop. I mean, I can't explain that. I can't. They scored four in the first. You score four in the first inning, he's going to score 20 runs that day. They didn't score again. That in itself is amazing. So it's series like this, when you go back and you look at what this team has done historically in this ballpark, and you kind of look around going, hey, we're a good team. We're a good team. And that little belief starts to grow. And this has been growing now for about 2.5 weeks. So you're starting to see the confidence that they have. It's starting to emerge in all kinds of different ways, from the bullpen, from the defense, from the pinch hitting, which had been abysmal for a while. Not anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and just the quality of the bats, too. You know, the biggest thing in yesterday's game, the ninth inning, were two walks to set it up. I mean, the walk has really become a signature of this team. So I can't explain it. I'm just digging it.
It is. And you mentioned this bullpen. It's worth diving in again, because this maybe is, you know, listen, it's so much sexier to talk about Casey Schmidt and Pat Bailey.
Yeah, but this pen is doing that, man.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Taylor, Tyler,
yep.
Scott Alexander, all and Doval. And we've talked to you a lot about them. And I don't know. I guess my Friday, June 9 question is, like, is there a reason why they're pitching so well? Is it Andrew Bailey? Is it Brian Bannister? Is it, you know, these guys were all really good all along, and we should have just recognized it. And Farhan is a great eye for talent, or is they just on a hot streak, or it's a particular match of righties and lefties and different arm angles. I mean, why is this bullpen so good?
Well, yes to all of that. Absolutely yes to all of that. Yeah. And but you take a look at what's happened this year. Remember how they started out, and John Brebbie was screwed up, and Taylor Rogers was screwed up, and Doval was all over the place. And Manaea was just, he couldn't, his arm slot was just out of whack, and Stripling was another guy he just couldn't get into the groove, right? You know, what is the reputation of the Farhan era? It's, well, we can bring people into our organization and we can fix you, we can make you better. And I mean, those are, you know, clear cut examples. What I just give you, five or six clear cut examples of guys who had reputation but had fallen out of good throwing mechanics, and they got him back in. So what they do in this organization so well is they can fix you, but if you're going along the regular season and you fall out, they can get you back quickly. Where's the dead weight? Tristan Beck? No. I want to see him come in.
Yeah.
Ryan Walker? Oh, hell no. I mean, he's unique. And, you know, Luke Jackson? How about that addition?
Yeah, right, right.
I mean, everybody coming in right now has got that confidence. And I think that the hard work that the staff has put in to keep these guys going, and if they do fall out of whack, they get them back in quickly. I think that's really the rally cry of this bullpen, is that we can fix you and we can get you back in. And this is what they're doing right now. And right now they're all going off. I mean, that's rare that you have – you know, normally you have a couple of dark side arms in the bullpen where you just kind of want to avoid at all costs if you have a lead. Not anymore. I don't have a problem giving the ball to anybody coming out of that pen with a one-run lead in the seventh or eighth inning.
It's at Coors Field, Mike. At Coors Field. Grant Brisby wrote a whole piece in The Athletic about how this is just insane, right? And how it's almost nuts that there's probably a bunch of young Giants fans who are like, Coors Field, what's the big deal? I mean, because the Giants in the last 3 years have done it there. And, you know, the Rockies are bad, of course, but – I mean, that's the crazy thing is that, Mike, I mean, like you said, they're down 4-1 in the first inning. You're like, okay, getaway day. You're going to give up 20 today. So whatever Gabe and Farhan have figured out, the Coors Field file, that just keep it going.
Well, yeah, keep it going indeed. And but yeah, I say one thing about the Coors Field, and I think about it every time it happens. I think the epitome of a close, of a save, of a guy coming in and shutting down the biggest threat on the planet, is a one-run lead in Coors Field. And we watched Goval do it in game two, and then he did it with a two-run lead yesterday. That's the toughest save to get, I think. And now it's not even an issue. I mean, Goval has evolved into just a bad animal. And he now is starting to control every facet of that mound. He is relaxed. He's confident. He's consistent. He's got three weapons. You know, it's, and I think when you go into an arena like Coors Field, it's kind of like the final candle, the light in the birthday cake. You just protected a one-run lead in the ninth inning. You, my friend, are an all-star. And that's kind of how it's rolling right now.
For sure. All right, so we buried the lead. We went the first 7 minutes without talking about the moment of the game, Brandon Crawford. So, Mike, this comes with all sorts of dimensions, because we've talked about what he means to us and what he means to the city and what he means to the organization and how it's not happened. What's he hitting, 188 with a 617 OPS? And Casey Schmidt, even though he's in a little bit of a funk right now, is still the guy who's taken his job, kind of. And then in the ninth inning last night, down 4-3, here comes Gabe Kapler saying, Brandon Crawford, grab a bat. Now, it makes sense, lefty versus righty instead of righty versus righty. And also, he was 3-for-6 against Pierce Johnson. But still, Mike, he falls down 0-2. And then the swing of the year, right? Gets it out. I mean, just it meant so much. Alex Cobb with some really meaningful quotes after the game about how much it means to see Brandon Crawford do that in that situation.
So
I'd love
awesome.
Your full breakdown of what you think that meant, both to the club and to Brandon Crawford.
Well, for Brandon Crawford, he found a way to help the team. I mean, it's just that simple. And, you know, here's a guy who has enormous pride, and he's been incredible throughout his career. I mean, the best shortstop in 141 years, that's saying something. When you can say that and clearly mean it, when you start comparing him to the Chris Spires and the Rich Aurelias and the Jose Arribes and the Jose Pagans, I mean, it's unbelievable what this guy has done in his career. And now he's on the twilight of his career, and things change. Now, you can do one of two things when you're a veteran. You can accept what is happening to you, bust your butt, put yourself in a position to be able to be given a second chance, and then when you get that chance, you could capitalize on it, or you can sit in your locker and pout. There's no in-between. And a lot of guys, you know, just get completely just destroyed mentally when it happens to them, because they're no longer the same person. The voice is not as loud in the clubhouse. But the one thing that remains the same, when you're a veteran and you have young players in that clubhouse, they look at you. They watch how you handle every situation, how you handle success, how you handle failure, how you handle a three strikeout game with two errors. They watch how you get on the plane, how you get off the plane, or what you wear on the road and where you eat. They watch everything you do, and they all watch what happens when you transition. Nobody can play forever. When you accept the role that is given you by nature, you obviously can't go out there and play the same game every day. Now you have to be managed differently. But when you're going through that transition, they watch you, as do the coaches, as do the manager and the general manager and the president. They'll watch how you handle it. And everything about Brandon Crawford's career has been surrounded by one word, class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I expect nothing less.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what he's given this team. Did you see the smile on his face when he came back to dugout yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, it was so genuine, yeah. And it was so sincere. Here's a guy who just wants to help. He just wants to be part of this team. And yesterday he was. He was the key swinging the bat that enabled them to win. And where it goes, I don't know. I mean, he's going to be much more confident in that situation given where whenever it comes his way. But it was just, I mean, those were one of the things. Everybody saw that smile. Everybody on that team. They're rooting for him. And if he comes through in that unbelievable way like he did yesterday, and the way that he's handled himself since spring training, and every part about what he's done as a Giant just continues to grow. In my mind, he just got a little bit bigger. The legend got a little bit shinier.
So great. I mean, he's just, you got to treasure it because, I mean, Mike, we don't know. He hasn't said anything about next year, but, you know.
No, you're right. You got to enjoy these. It's like with Buster last year. You got to appreciate every start. Every time he's out there, you got to really soak it in if you're a Giants fan.
Totally. I mean, that's just really what you do. And you know, the cool thing about it is he's doing the same thing. You got to soak it in. Yeah. I mean, you take advantage of, I mean, I've been down this walk. Every player that's ever played in the game for a length of time comes to this point in their career, and I think as a player you enjoy things more, little things, even like a good meal after the game. You know, I love Murph's meatloaf. I mean, or whatever. I mean,
yeah.
It's just that way, and you know, you can't turn back the clock, unfortunately. But look, I'm not saying he's done by any way, shape, or form. We watched it happen with Edgar Renteria, and he turned out to be the number one guy in the 2010 World Series.
Right.
So, you know, I still think there's plenty left in the tank, but I just appreciate the way he's walked this journey this year and the leader that he's been, and certainly I enjoyed it yesterday.
So the Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you were only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just been handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
True. We're talking to Mike Kruko. We do it every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday as the Giants get a second straight comeback win in Colorado to go to 2 games over .500, finish off a sweep, and come home feeling pretty good as they take on the Cubs this weekend. Marcus Stroman going for Chicago. Pretty good pitcher against Anthony DeSclafani is the deal. Mike, Blake Sable is a rookie also. We don't really, you know, we talk about Schmidt and Bailey. Well, this guy, you know, and we've talked about his catching and whether or not he measures up to Bailey. But he grinded out the walk that started it last night. I'm wondering if he could just kind of go sit next to Casey Schmidt and say, "Hey, buddy, watch me draw a walk." You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I mean, what discipline? That's what Farhan loved about him, right? In why he went and got him.
Well, you're right. It's the quality of the bat. You know, it's not only how you work the count. It's being fearless in a 2-strike count. I mean, guys getting 2-strike counts the red sign just explodes in the back of their brain saying, "Don't strike out. I'm going to strike out. Oh, don't strike out." Well, when you have confidence at 2-strike count, you don't worry about that. You worry about getting a good pitch to hit. You worry about, you know, taking a pitch that would enable you to get a walk. And it's a discipline. Look, some guys never get it. They never get it. It's one of the hardest things to obtain. But the guys that have it, they stand out. And that's one thing that has really followed Sable around his whole career. And you're right. It's why he's here. It's why he's not going anywhere. And he's going to be at this in the club on this team the whole year. I mean, they're not going to send him down and expose him to the Rule 5 rules that say, you know, if you don't keep him in the big leagues, he can go back. Well, if you took him off the big league roster, he'd be gone in 30 seconds. That's how he's respected for what this guy does, and that's how he takes his at bats. Now, in regards to Casey Schmidt, you know, you go back to Matt Williams when he first came up. It's the same way. Swung at everything. You know, you didn't have to throw him a strike. He was going to swing. And, you know, the league has sort of taken advantage of that. Now he has to adjust back. Now he has to start the journey of plate discipline. And he can do it. I mean, he's a smart guy. He's a good athlete. He's showing that. So you just have to be patient with him, and he has to be patient with himself. So plenty of room to grow in that regard, but hey, he's still a big leaguer in my mind.
Patience, for sure. By the way, just by way of example, Sable's on-base percentage in April and March was .292, and then in May it was .365. So, I mean, that was just improvement right before our eyes. He drew only three walks in April and March and drew seven in May. So, I mean, you know, this is it, man. You got to get –
Yeah, and, you know, remember, too, that both these guys are learning the league. You know, the biggest advantage that a pitcher has when he faces a new player is that, that player doesn't know him. Well, a rookie comes into the big leagues, he doesn't know anybody, very few people. He may have faced somebody in the minor leagues, but in all likelihood, that changed, too. So you're relearning, and, you know, we always say the price of your education up here is costly because, you know, you're a big pitcher, he's going to save a two-strike surprise for you. That just costs you an at-bat. And that's happening to Casey Schmidt right now. Plus, now they feel there's a little weakness in his game that they can exploit, and they're doing it. So with Sable, you can see now, you know, his on-base percentage wasn't great. Well, it's starting to improve. He's starting to learn the league. You know, he's starting to learn umpires. You know, he's starting to get to know their strike zone. Some umpires, you have to expand the zone a little bit more. Others, you don't. I mean, it's all part of the knowledge you get when you become a big leaguer. And both these guys are watching, or I'm sorry, both these guys are walking through it.
Yeah, excited to watch Casey Schmidt sort of evolve this summer. He's just been so electric and obviously going to be really fun part of this whole future. And by the way, speaking of the future, Mike, Farhan came on Tolbert and Copes yesterday and addressed this bubbling farm system, which is just looking so good right now with Luis Matos and Carson Wisenhunt and Keaton Wynn. But the Kyle Harrison question came up again. And, you know, there's two spots in the rotation right now. Alex Wood is on the IL. He's due back next Friday. And then the other fifth spot that just seems to be a rotating bullpen spot. And I guess Farhan came on and said he wants to call up Harrison when he can be in the front or middle of the rotation, not the back of the rotation. And they also said he still needs to work on some stuff. But so we'll just continue to ask you this question because, you know, they say he's going to come up this year at some point. We're now in June, and there's these openings in the rotation. Have you thought about it?
No, I really haven't in his regard, only because, you know, I'm following his career. I go into MILB. I see what his box scores are. His stuff's impressive. And the great thing about it is you can go into any given day, and you can go back and replay little clips and actually see how he's throwing and whatnot. And, you know, he still has work to do. You have to be able to throw strikes when you get to the big league level. And for the obvious reason, you don't want to walk anybody and create opportunity for free. But the other thing, too, is you don't want to throw too many pitches. You know, and right now he's throwing a lot of pitches. I mean, that's the reality of where he is. I mean, he's such a lure because of what he can do and how he can strike people out and how hard he is to hit. But he's got to clean things up. He has to get a better arm slot and a more consistent motion to where he can control his pitches and not have to worry about walks. You cannot create opportunity for free at the big league level and be successful. So if you bring him into a game right now, he could give you 3-4 innings. He's going to throw 80 pitches. And, you know, that's not acceptable right now. So you get him to where he can clean it up, his walk rate, you know, where it's at 6 or 9 innings now. You get that down to where it's 3, he'll be in the big leagues tomorrow. And so there's work to do, and he can do it. I mean, as athletic as he is, I mean, it is something that he's very capable of doing. But you don't want him up here where he's going to be beating himself up mentally because he can't throw strikes. And so, I mean, it's they don't have to do it right now. They have other arms that can come in here and pitch those innings. But I do believe that before this year's up, he's going to be there. And it may be September. We don't know.
Yeah.
But at some point, he will be here.
Ooh, September would be fun. Hey, Mike, last one for you is a non-Giants one. You know, we're still friends. My buddy Brad Manns is still friends with the Duffys, Matt Duffy and his family, who was here with the Royals on opening weekend. And the Royals do something no other Major League Baseball team does, is and they have a dad's road trip. So Tom Duffy, Matt's dad, and a bunch of other dads are on the road trip with the Royals, and they're hanging out in the clubhouse, and they're taking BP, and they're going out to meals, and it's like it's a totally unique thing. I guess it started in the NHL about 10 years ago. Some NHL team did it. Bring your dads. I'm wondering your reaction to this, and like, you know, how would Mike Kruko's dad be on the road with a young Kruk in the clubhouse? And I mean, it just seems pretty awesome. It's like Field of Dreams writ large, right?
Oh my God, what a great idea! I wish that was there when I was coming through. Because, look, there's not too many times that you can blow your dad's mind. There just isn't. I mean, you spend a whole lifetime with him blowing your mind, right? Well, when he shows up on the circuit, I mean, just to be able to strap it on a charter flight and stay in a five-star hotel, that alone would blow his mind. Yeah. But to be able to see the big leagues from inside the clubhouse and watch the day-to-day, I wish I could have done it. You know, it would have been amazing. And, you know, unfortunately, it wasn't available. But I can only imagine the look on his face. And look, we love to blow the mind of our parents, don't we? The greatest phone call ever. So I wish it would have been available, but I applaud organizations that are doing it, and I hope every organization in baseball winds up doing it.
Let's see the Giants do it, man. How could you predict how your dad might have been and taken BP, like, you know, at Dodger Stadium or something? Because they're doing it on a road trip.
Well, he was a big man. My dad was 6'3", about 300, and he was a big cop, big arms, big hands. I mean, he was a presence when he walked into a room, and when he used to get blown away, he would just kind of whistle without making a noise. He'd just be sitting there looking around the rooms, and he wouldn't blink, you know, and you just knew he was locked into that mode right there because, you know, he was paid. I mean, his whole life as a cop, you know, you learn to observe, right? And there's just so many things that happen in the big league life on a day-to-day basis that, you know, I could just see him with that look on his face, just kind of looking around the clubhouse. It would have been amazing. I wish I could have been able to do it.
Yeah, I thought I would bring it up. Tom Duffy, I wrote Tom a text saying, welcome to the show, Tom. And he wrote back, he said, this is incredible. He said, wish everybody could do it. So anyway, maybe the Giants will listen. Maybe they'll do it. But the Royals, the only MLB team to do this, and I guess an NHL team did it too. So thought it'd be fun. I'd love to see Mike Kruko's dad hanging out there in the clubhouse. All right, Mike, it was a great trip to Colorado. The Giants are feeling good. Coming home, got the Cubs this week. I guess final one, just last 60 seconds, just your thought on this Cubs series. I mean, the Cubs have lost 4 in a row. They're 10 games under. You know, you got to go get them. But I know you warn us. It's the big leagues, right?
Well, and they face Marcus Stroman tonight, who's on a roll. He's having an all-star first half. And but look, you take a look at their schedule in June. They have the Cubs at home. Then they go to the Cardinals, then they go to the Dodgers, then they come home against San Diego, they get Arizona, then it's Toronto, then it's the Mets. Every series is hard. But you know what? They're up to the task. This is a confident team. And that weekend, or those last three games in Coors Field, that was another layer of confidence. So they're ready for it.
Yeah, man. It's going to be really, really fun. All right, Mike, here's the deal. We will talk to you. We'll watch three Giants games. We'll talk to you Monday.
Got a bit.
Mike Kruko doing his thing here. And by the way, somebody since said the Sharks do this, the dad's trip. I didn't know that. So anyway, baseball may be a little different than hockey. Get the dad on skates? Get him out
there? Well, that's a big father-son thing, too, up in Canada. Like, you've heard all the stories that they're – up in Boston, too, it's like this. They get their kids – fathers that played hockey up in New England and Canada, Murph, they get their kids on skates by the age of 2 or 3.
It's funny.
I'm not kidding. I think they call it – is it Bantam? The peewee level of hockey, I think they call it Bantam. Anyway, they get after it pretty early. So, yeah, father and sons all the way on that.
I sent Triple E this morning a Gretzky bit from last night on the about his dad.
By the way, shout out to Wayne Gretzky, the greatest player to ever lace up a pair of skates. He's sitting over here on a panel now like he's just some guy. Have you seen him on the TNT coverage? You got him at the end of the table. He's staring off into space.
It's like when I go to Pebble Beach and I would go out and he would just finish up his round. He'd just be hanging out, eating a sandwich, and I'd just walk up to him, interview the great one.
Guy scored 92 goals in a year. I'm just throwing that out there.
It's interviewing, like, if Willie Mays and Michael Jordan, you know, had a hockey player, it would be, you know, Wayne Gretzky.
He is one of the most humble human beings. I've never even talked to him. I'm afraid. I wouldn't even want to. I wouldn't know what to say. I'd humiliate myself. But he is one of the more humble superstars you'll ever come across.
But in the bit, when he said, talking about your junior hockey and hockey dads, he said his dad, when he was young, he was skating with no tape. I can't understand. You might explain tape on the blade or something.
Yeah, you got to tape your stick up. Yeah, that's so it doesn't crack.
And his dad said, why don't you have any tape on the blade? He said, well, and he says, and by the way, Gretzky still has the monster Canadian accent. He said, well, Bobby Orr doesn't have skate on his.
That's all he needs to hear.
Tape on his blade.
Bobby Orr, don't do it. I'm not doing it.
He goes, and my dad said to me,
Well, you're not Bobby Orr.
Yeah, I'm going to be better than Bobby Orr.
No, but he's, no, he's put kidding. Him in his place yeah, as a yeah. kid. He goes, you're not Bobby Orr. Yeah, put yeah. some tape on that thing. Yeah, so yeah. anyway, man.
Good. Hey, I like that. I'm glad you told me
that. It's in the cooler.
Yeah. Oh, good. Good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I want some great one.
Hey, two things. One, Austin Slater joins Tolbert and Copes to preview the Giants' homestand against the Cubs today at 2:15. That's our buddy from the Hornitos tequila thing.
Sure.
Two, you are listening to KBR and KBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader at Cumulus Media Station. And three, everybody's like, what's the big hit? After the big day yesterday, you ran a poll?
I'd like to know myself.
There's no poll on the big hit today?
I got to tell you, the poll was wildly popular. Yeah, we might need to do that.
500 votes came in.
Maybe we do a poll once a week, like it's a you pick it Thursday or something like that.
We do it when it's a hot topic. I thought today was obvious.
Yeah.
Farhan came on KBR yesterday and talked about this team in this situation. The Giants just swept the Rockies. The farm system is booming. So the big hit is the Giants' hot energy. The Giants weekend afoot with Pauly Mack out there at the Levi's Plaza.
I'll be out there tonight. Come
what
say
time?
Hello. Well, we're doing live music from 5 to 7 at Seals Plaza with this great 80s band called Fast Times. We're going to have a great time. And then we just roll right into the game for first pitch.
Okay, so yeah. we got that. And then we got these guys just knocking on the door, the minor leaguers. So Farhan addressed it all, and that's today's big hit. Next on KBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
I love Murph Meatloaf.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast, wherever you listen.